Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would just move sovereignly by your will, Lord God, and touch us, Lord God, as we open up this door, this first chapter of Psalms today, Lord God. Bless us, Lord God. We ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, our first, we're in the book of Psalms, first chapter, book one of Psalms. And the scripture reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. And that's where I want to stop. We're going to finish the whole chapter because it's a very short chapter, but that's where I want to stop. The ungodly are not so. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then the first part of four says, the ungodly are not so. So, he's already creating a situation for us to see openly that you don't want to be considered as the one that is ungodly. So, he's giving the direct contrast of what the ungodly is going to happen, what's going to happen to the ungodly, and how blessed a man can be. So just to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly is a blessing already. But then he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, which is the teaching of the ungodly, the understanding of the ungodly, the do the things that the ungodly do. See, but it's not so much the do as it is the mindset. Blessed is the mindset of those who don't walk in that ungodly counsel, because that counsel is the teacher. See, you're receiving teaching, you're receiving doctrine, you're receiving study, you're receiving from the ungodly. When the ungodly says something, you say, yeah, that's right. See, that means you're taking on ungodly counsel. When someone comes to you and say to you, I think this ought to happen, and you know that's against God, praise God for the man and the woman or and the family that stands up and says, no, not so. If that's what you want to do with your house, that's your business. But we're not doing it. Joshua's like that. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, that's what it takes to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly, because people are deceived nowadays. People think that the ungodly counsel can come from behind the pulpit. And I'm sorry. Let me be the first to tell you. If you think ungodly counsel can't come from the pulpit, you are an idiot. Sin is sin. And from the beginning of time, since the first couple of people, Adam and Eve, sin has reigned free in the hearts of all men. Everybody after that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if you think that any man can get away from this word and start teaching his own thing, just because he wears the name of pastor, or she wears the name of pastor, or evangelist, or prophet, or deacon, deaconess, or choir director, whoever, whatever positions that's held in the church. If somebody thinks just because somebody uses the title of the things of the Lord and they can't be ungodly teachers, then you're wrong. What makes an ungodly teacher? That's the question. Someone that teaches the opposite of what God says. Where do you find out what God says? His word. So somebody that teaches something contrary to the word of God is an ungodly teacher, therefore giving ungodly counsel. This is why it's important for you us to match up everything we say with the word of God. And then it says, nor stand in the way of sinners. What do you mean stand in the way of sinners? I'm in the church. I'm not standing in the way of the sinner. Huh? What is the way of the sinner? I'm going to pay this much taxes, but I'm going to defraud the government, and I'm going to cheat the government on this set of taxes. I'm not going to let him know anything about that. That's ungodly. That's cheating. Do you depend on Uncle Sam to give you back your money, or are you depending on God to bless you? Well, if you want God to bless you, you can't do it the sinner's way. See, that's how you stand in the way of the sinner. You hear what I'm saying? Because everybody always goes to the place, you're good, she's good. That's how people always get in the way of their understanding when it comes to the place of you need change. Okay. And so whenever it gets to a place, we're always going to where a person is doing sin, or the cocaine smoker, the drunkard, the liar, the cheater. Put her in there. Yeah. And so we always go into that. You see what I'm saying? But the way of the sinner is the way of the sinner. The sinner has a direction by which he lives, by which he operates, by which he enjoys life. And we got to stay out of that way. Listen, if you want to go over there and do what you want to do, I don't have a problem. Come on, man. We're going. Here's work. We're going out. We're going to go get a little drink. Oh, I know you're a Christian, but you can have a drink. No. That is not my way. That is not God's way. That is the way, and I'm not calling you a sinner, but that is the way of the sinner. That is the way of a drunkard. A drunkard is a sinner. And I don't want to get caught up in that. So, no, I'm not going to hang out after work. See? So, it's all of these are decisions we have to make. The next part of that first verse says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. See? You don't want to sit in the seat of someone that is a mocker, talking smack about God, talking smack about the Christian, talking smack about that. We know we have bad people in Christianity. Okay. But you want to be able to expose that without getting to a place where you don't pray. And me and Zaire and Taylor were talking about it last time as we got out of the book of James, and I felt convicted. So I had to pray. Me and Taylor came together. We start praying about everybody because I don't want to be guilty of just trying to expose something and then start talking or mocking Christians. This is the important why. Reason why. Because this is their journey. We do not know what God has planned. God has set a date when he's going to do his total salvation. You see what I'm saying? When the person's going to come all the way over. And we don't know that date. See? But as long as they let us minister to them, then we got to be available to minister. You hear what I'm saying? And that's been my push all of life. And so I just want to be guilty because some people on my job can take me. I mean, I just don't want to be guilty because some people on my job will make you, they say they're Christians, but she says she's a Christian and a Mormon. And so when I said to her, you know, the Mormons say that Jesus and the devil are brothers. And she said, I ain't never heard that. And then she cursed me out. I said, okay. There goes your Christianity. She cursed me out. But I don't want to get caught up in that. So this year I made sure that I spoke to everybody. And I made somewhat amends with everybody, at least on my side, because I don't want the Lord's blessings to stop me, and I don't want to be in the seat of the scornful. And you know, I always study ahead of time before I get into a book, so I'm already into the 90s in this book, so I've already studied this, so I study ahead of time. My guilt comes during my studies, so by the time y'all get it, I'm already guilt free, so I can teach it. We don't want to sit in that seat of the scornful. So it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why is this significant and why is this in the place? Because it describes an action. See, when sin and the devil comes trying to manipulate your life, the first thing he does is he presents the thing, and then you're a blessed man of God, and then you start walking by. See, while he's spitting his ungodly counsel, you start walking by. And then once it catches your attention, then you start standing there, listening even more. And then when you take your seat, the devil got you.
That's good.
Bottom line. So, number one does bring out what God is saying. That you are a blessed man if you avoid these things. But it also shows the side of what the scripture does not say. Look at how the devil is operating. Amen? Amen. And then it says, and two, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now I got to go into that. Because a lot of people are getting caught up into the law. Every time the Bible mentions law, especially after the time of Moses, a lot of people are getting caught up into all the 613 laws and commandments and traditions. But before there was a commandment, the Ten Commandments from Moses, God had a law that was up on the earth. That same law is what governed Adam and Eve in the garden. So I have to constantly point this out so people would get a broader view of what God's law is. So when he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, what is God's law? What is the law of this earth? There are statutes and principles and laws that govern this earth so that people should be able to walk and live freely upon this earth. Well, God has statutes, principles, and laws. And if you're in this earth and you follow his way, God says, be kind. God says, live peaceably amongst all men. See, God says, be holy, for I am holy. See, God has laws that transcend those Ten Commandments, which later on became the 613. You see what I'm saying? And so this is why can't nobody stick you to it. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now notice he didn't say God. He said the Lord. Every time the Bible mentions the Lord, it's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the Son of God. It is not talking about God the Father. It is not talking about God the Holy Spirit. It is talking about God the Son, or God the Word. See? So, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord's, this whole Bible is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the law. All of it. So you have to go through this and get rid of the contradictions that is in men's minds. Because of our imperfect mind, we can't see pure holiness. We can't see pure righteousness. We can't see godliness unless you are studying God. And so we miss it. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that has been taken out of context, tied specifically to the commandments. But no, it didn't say that. In his law, in the law of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the word of God, we shall meditate day and night. See, we are to meditate on his word. But we're to meditate day and night on God's word. See, not a commandment. Because when you get past the commandment, then you got to get to the actual law of it. And then once you, what about that law? And then what about the statute? And then what about the principle of that? And then it becomes this complicated thing that you're wasting so much time. God said, pray to me continually. Pray with me continually. Let prayer continually come out of your mouth. Meditate upon him. Fellowship with him. Be with him daily, day and night. That's what the scripture is saying. And then it says in 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth fruit in his season. So if this man is blessed enough to not walk in the counsel of all those three, and his delight is in the word of God, he shall be, and he meditates upon that, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the river of water. What is the significance of that? A tree that is planted by the river of water, have you ever seen it? It usually hangs over, and it just has so many leaves, so many branches, that it's so heavy, it's top heavy, because it's bearing so much. Why? Because its roots has a continual feeding flow straight to the river. Straight to the river. And that's what the word of God should be to us, like water. When you have the word of God, you can meditate on that day and night. It should be straight, like you have that straight river coming into your tree, coming into your branch, coming into your life. And it says, that bringeth forth in his, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Okay, so he done named the tree. He made the tree personal. He said, that brings forth his, that's a person, fruit in his season. So just like a tree, you can't bear fruit 24/7 all year round. There has to be a season for your fruit bearing. There has to be a season for you to get it and for you to bear it. See? Season is not all the year round. So that means there may be some dry spells during that. It may not seem like it's all there, but if you stay planted by that river of water, which is the word of life, and you meditate upon that word day and night, which is the law of God, then and do not sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners or receive counsel from the ungodly, I guarantee you, you will bear fruit when it's time to bear fruit. And nobody controls the seasons but God. See, when God says it's time, then all of a sudden you're going to see flourishing in your life. And then once he gives you enough, then he's got to back up so you can handle it. Now, I've given you all this, my son. Let me see what you do with it. See? And it says also, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever you put your hand to, it's going to prosper. But you got to remember, it's going to prosper in season, not out of season. Then it says in 4, the ungodly are not so. So it starts with the ungodly, how not to walk in that counsel. But then it tells you the ungodly are not so. Why? Because they don't get it. These things don't happen to the ungodly. Why? Because they don't get it. They're ungodly. They're not supposed to get it. See? Now, where did it say that this person was perfect? Didn't say that. I couldn't reach. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So, what is the chaff? Have you ever seen the cluster from wheat? It has little shells on it that protects the wheat. But as it comes into fruit, into fruition, where it's ready to be taken off the stalk, those things, it's like the husk of corn. It comes off. Well, how do you get that out of something so simple as grass, you know, as wheat? Well, they call it the threshing floor. and they throw all the wheat on the threshing floor, and then they take the forks and they throw it up in the air, and the wind separates the original wheat from the chaff, because the chaff is so light that it just blows away. See? And then the original wheat falls back down to the threshing floor. So after you do that a few times, you can look down and say, okay, I got all wheat. Now that goes into the basket. So this is what he's saying. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. See? They're blown all over the place. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So God is saying this. Therefore, the ungodly man shall not stand in the judgment. When judgment time comes, they won't be able to stand. See? There's going to be no excuse. You need to move close. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. So the sinner is not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look at that. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So you see, this first way that he's talking about, the one, the blessed man that does not sit in all those seats of scorning and ways, standing in the ways of sinner and receiving counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be planted by the rivers of waters like a tree bearing fruit in its season. That is the sign of a righteous man. And he will be in the way of the Lord. It is all about the Lord for him. Irregardless of where his struggle is. Irregardless of where his frailties is. Irregardless of what he does right or wrong. See, it really is not about our condition. It is more about our position. See, what is your position in Christ? Can you wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Jesus? Can you wake up in the day, noonday, and say, or get up in the noonday and say, hallelujah, Jesus? Are you developing a relationship with him? Because if you're doing that, then he can show up at any point of your journey and change everything towards the better. But if you don't even have an open door with him to be free to do that, then you cannot. You can't. You can't. If you don't even have an open door, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. So you just perish like the rest of them because you are operating in the way. Notice it says in 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So is he defining the man? No. He's defining the direction. Don't follow the way of those that perish. Follow the way of the righteous. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, which is rich and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, help us to concentrate on our position in you and not our condition in life. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And all those that agreed said amen. Amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the down scale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of
try to keep myself together, and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
Know what's wrong and know what's right, don't delay. Stop acting rich your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter where he lurk. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What you would do, cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors, and yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out, though you begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit, death. You better think about it, but you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.